On December 31st, it's the end of a year, and I think back 18 years ago or 17 years ago, 2000, many of us thought that perhaps the world was going to come to an end in the year 2000, but we're still here 18 years later, and we're still surviving, and we're still continuing on, and I'm just thinking and pondering, and there's a verse of scripture that just came to my heart that's familiar to each and every one of us today. We probably have it memorized, but Solomon wrote it many years ago. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight," or he will direct your paths. And throughout the month of December, we looked at several journeys. We looked at the journey of the Magi, the wise men, the three kings. As they came from the west to the east, they followed the star of Bethlehem to where it actually revealed where the Christ child was born. And there as they came through, of course, Jerusalem, and there they inquired of the scribes and of Herod where the Christ child was to be born. And they found that, of course, he was to be born in Bethlehem. And so they came and they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And there they worshiped and then they returned, knowing that they had found the one who was the true king. The true king, the king of kings and the Lord of lords. And then we looked at Joseph and Mary on a Sunday evening, and we noticed how Joseph and Mary took a journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And that was a journey that was called the Way of the Patriarchs. They passed by Megiddo, the Valley of Sychar, through Jerusalem, Samaria, down to Bethlehem. And it was a way that their patriarchs or their ancestors or forefathers had traveled and been a part of for many, many years. And as they traveled through those areas, it was a place and a journey that they did not want to take. I mean, a Roman census had called them to come to Bethlehem to register. They didn't want to come. She was 9 months pregnant. And sometimes life leads us down paths not of our own choosing, but we follow the path nonetheless because something is driving us down that path. But as they came down that path, I believe in my own heart that they understood that God was with them. Mary, of course, was bearing the Christ child, the one who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And yet, as they were coming down from Nazareth to Bethlehem, they were reminded all along the way that God had been with their forefathers. God had been with their ancestors. He had been with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And now God was present with them. Even though they didn't want to take the route, God was there with them. And then was born Jesus Christ, the Savior. Now, as I stop and I think about, you know, taking trips and journeys, every one of us, we take a journey or a trip a little bit differently. Some of you this morning, you're very detail-oriented. I mean, you have everything absolutely mapped out. You've got where you're going to stay for the evening. You've got where you're going, all the restaurants you're going to eat at. You even have the events planned for the day. What you're going to do at 1 o'clock, what you're going to do at 3 o'clock. And you have your whole thing mapped out. Others of us are more spontaneous. We know we're going to a certain destination, and we're going to arrive there, perhaps sooner or later. But, you know, life might, and our journey might take us to various routes. Some of us might stop at Cracker Barrel and eat for about 50 million hours, you know, like some of you guys do, and you shop in there. But you travel along the way, and you see all these various sites. So every one of us have a different route that we're going down. But as we stop and we think about this, have we ever thought about how God maps out our Christian journey? I find that God rarely drops maps onto my Google. You know, he doesn't use Google Maps. He rarely gives me a text message. He rarely emails me and says, "This is the way you need to go." And yet God leads me all the way through. And sometimes that can be a little bit scary. When Jesus first encountered his disciples, he said what to them? He said, "Follow me. Follow me." And it says immediately they dropped their nets and they followed him. They didn't know where they were going to have to stay in a car for the night, whether they were going to have to camp out at an airport. The Bible says that Jesus had no place to lay his head, and so, you know, they may have waken up in the morning with their hair all out of place, their clothes all disheveled, you know, a crink in their neck. They had no place to lay their head, but Jesus Christ was their guide, and they trusted in him all the way. There's a poem that was written many years ago by Robert Frost called "The Road Not Taken." Two roads diverged in the wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And we know that in our own life, sometimes our lives takes us down paths that are less traveled by, and our Christian journey is one that's not necessarily one that's comfortable to some of us. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, sometimes it's incredibly painful. But again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him. As I began to think about this in the new year, I got to thinking about the first words of Genesis, the first words of the Gospel of John. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so here at the beginning, the end of one year, and the beginning of another year, I think it's important for us to once again go back and remind ourselves who God is. Is our God big? Is our God awesome? Is our God great? Is he big enough to handle the situations we find in life? And I find that in my life that, you know, we all have GPSs. We follow those GPSs. We all need a GPS, which means a global positioning system. But I believe that we need a God positioning system. We need a God who will actually lead us and guide us. And I believe that God is more than reliable and trustworthy to lead us all the way. So at the beginning of the new year, beginning next Sunday, I want to talk about some of the attributes of God. And first of all, I want to talk about how God is omnipresent. In other words, there's never a place where we are that God is not. Everywhere we might be, every situation we might find ourselves, every circumstance that we encounter, God is already there. And that's good news. At least it is for me. God is also omnipotent. In other words, there's no problem too big for God to handle. Whatever the problem, whatever the mountain, whatever the valley, whatever the situation of life, my God is big enough to part the waves. He's big enough to make the sun stand still. He's big enough because he created the world in which we live. And God is also omniscient. Omniscient. The Bible says the Lord of hosts is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance. And so what we find is, when we talk about omniscient, is that he's a God of knowledge. He's all-knowing. There's never a question that will confound him, never an event that will surprise him, never a situation that will overwhelm him, because God is bigger than all of that. In fact, when you remind myself, you look down in the manger and you find the little Christ child lying there. And God is much bigger than that manger. Christ was much bigger than that manger. So what we find is that God leads us and he directs us every step of the way. And as we stop and we're going to look at some of these things called the attributes of God, we're going to discover that our God isn't really a big God who leads us and directs us. And so we need to trust in him with all of our heart. Now, most of us use Google Maps. How many of you use Google Maps? Or you use a GPS of some sort? How many of you use the old-fashioned maps still? Anybody? You trust the maps, and you know, you realize that, you know, what we find is that road maps are continually changing. Rand McNally says they change so quickly that we can't keep up with them, and GPSs do too. I love the lizard commercial, Geico commercials. Have you seen the latest one on the penguins? You've seen the latest one on the penguins? The penguins are out there, and it says the GPS has taken them 93 miles off course, and they're never going to get to the place where they need to breed. Well, anyway, when we talk about how the GPSs need to continually be updated, friends, I want to tell you something. God never needs to be updated. He never needs to be updated. He never needs to be told where there's road construction or there's a detour, an obstacle. But God never rarely gives us a map. Now, like what Leonard Sweet once said, he said, Jesus never gave us a map that says turn left here or right turn only or no outlet. He gave us signs and signposts, but not maps. And that's my kind of God, because that's what I do when I tell people where to get from this place to someplace else. I don't say go out here to 700 North and turn on 300 South and go to 500, whatever it might be. I say go out here to the big red barn, turn right, go to the bridge, and then turn left after you get over the bridge and you'll find your way to the place you need to go. I need signposts. I can't see those little bitty signs, but I can see a big red barn. How about you? So every one of us need big red barns. So God gives us not maps, but he gives us signs, and he gives us signposts that we need to be able to follow in life. So Jesus must be at the center of our map if we're going to talk about maps. Because whenever you talk about a map, you're mapping out a domain. And if you look at a map, you find that there's a north, a south, an east, and a west. And if you go back, you'll find that everything is in reference to the north. We talk about captains of the ships in ancient times, how they followed the North Star. And so we have a magnetic north. When you have a compass, it points to the north. And so you're able to determine the direction that you need to go. Well, we also need a map, but we need to know the true north. And Jesus not only was led, and the wise men were led by the star of Bethlehem, but Christ, when they discovered him, they discovered that he was the true wisdom. And so Christ is our north star. He is the way, and he's a way of truth. He never lies to us. He always directs us. So Jesus is the true north. He's a magnetic north. He will lead us each and every step of the way. And as I stop and I think about this, that important question that we looked at several weeks ago, Jesus turned to them and said, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, Jesus, I believe that you are the true way. I believe that you are the way of life. I believe that you're my north star, my bright and morning star, the star of Bethlehem. I believe that you're the one who can actually lead me to where I need to go. And again, God never needs to be updated like our GPS. He knows every obstacle that you have. He knows every detour that you have. He knows all the road construction. But Jesus is our north star. Now here's what I find, that when we follow him who's our north star, it's going to set you apart from the rest of the world. Because the disciples, when they learned how to follow Jesus, discovered that very simply that it set them apart from the world. But it also encouraged other people. And yet, as I say on the screen, it's a very uncomfortable, very unpopular, and sometimes incredibly painful way when we walk the way of Christ. Because the world will not always accept us. Because the world does not always accept Christ. And you will have persecution in the world, and people will make fun of you, and people will say things about you that are not true. But friends, again, the way of Christ is the way of life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will direct or make your paths straight. There's three things I want to say about that. One is, we need to let God choose the way. To let God choose the way. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes in my life, I like to lean on the things that I know. I like to know, and I like to say, hey, this is what I understand. And when you get out here into this faith realm where you have to step out of the boat onto the water, you're saying, whoa, wait a minute, Jesus, I don't swim. And yet, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't use our brain, because God gave us a brain to use. He gave us an understanding to be able to reason things out. But we need to trust in God and walk the way of faith. When Abraham set out, when God called him to become the father of many nations, it says he went to a land not knowing where he was going to go. So sometimes God will lead us in ways that we don't know, but we must be careful of following merely our feelings. And we live in a feeling-oriented society today where feelings determine what I'm going to do. Again, Solomon says this, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So we need to, first of all, let God choose the way for us and follow the way that he has actually plotted out for us and has actually led us into. Secondly, we need to let God confirm the way. Confirm the way. Here were the Magi, and I said they came from the west, they followed the star, but what did they do? They stopped off in Jerusalem, and they asked the scribes, where is this one who's to be born? And the scribes went back to the word of God. And the word of God says he's to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. So the scriptures actually confirmed the way for them. So we need to be able to listen to what God says, but then he needs to confirm it by his word, by friends, by the Spirit of God, maybe by our circumstances or open doors or closed doors, but God will confirm it. And ultimately, he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, God leads us even through the darkness when we let him choose our way. But let him choose the way, let him confirm the way, and last of all, let him clear the way. He will direct your paths. And the word, therefore, direct is a word in the Old Testament which means to actually clear the way of all the obstacles. So when we're talking about God making our path straight or directing our way, we're talking about how, when he comes to an obstacle, here's a sea and it's all closed up. How are we going to get across, Moses? How are we going to get across? Hold out your rod. And he held out his rod and the way parted for them. Whatever the road obstacle might be, whatever the detour might be, God knows how to clear the road for you. And James Moffat made that a part of his own translation when he says, he will clear the road for you. Now, sometimes in your life, in my life, I come upon those obstacles and those detours in my life, and I'm saying, well, wait a minute, God. You know, how am I going to do this? How am I going to make it? And yet, there's no problem too big for God. And God knows how to bring his work to being, and he clears the mountain, he makes a way through the wilderness, and he provides a means for me to find his will, even when it seems impossible for me. I go back and I think about Joseph, and we all know the story of Joseph, do we not? Here was a young man who was favored by his dad, wore the coat of many collars. Brothers got very jealous of him. You know, a very dysfunctional family. His brothers got jealous of him because he got to wear the fancy coat. And so they decided one day they were going to just sell him to some Midianite traders. They threw him down into a pit, sold him off. And here he was. He found himself later being sold to Potiphar, who was the captain of a guard of the Egyptian army. And God caused him to prosper in that situation. I like those words when you look at how God caused him to prosper in the bad situations of life. Here he was in the household of Potiphar. He was prospering. And then one day, Potiphar's wife decided to come on to him. And he resisted her advances, and then she accused him of sexual harassment. And he was thrown into prison. So there he spent the next two stinking years of his life in prison, and yet God caused him to prosper once again. And he found favor with the jailer. Well, then, of course, there was a baker and a butler, and all that plays out. He's forgotten about in that jail for 2 years. And then Pharaoh has a dream. And they remember that down in that prison, there was a man who was able to interpret dreams, and they called Joseph to come up, and Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dreams, and as a result, was promoted to the cabinet position in Pharaoh's government, made the minister of agriculture, and prepared the world for a famine that was to strike, or a worldwide famine where there'd be no food, and he prepared all these places to store this grain, and one day, his brothers came up seeking food, and later discovered that it was Joseph with whom they were talking, and they were fearful for their life. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid, because I know that you're afraid of what you have done for me, but hey, you know, I'm here to heal the family. I'm here to bring us together. I'm here under the divine ordinance and purpose of God. And what you meant as evil to me, God ultimately has meant it for good." And God was able to take that roadblock, and he was able to clear the way whereby the people of Israel were actually saved from famine because of Joseph, who years before was sold into slavery. And yet Joseph saw from the vantage point of the throne the guiding hand of God in the midst of all the problems and troubles and situations of life that he was going through. God chose his path. He couldn't quite understand it. But by faith, he endured it. By faith, he prospered. God confirmed it, and God cleared the way for him. Cleared away all the obstacles whereby the people of Israel were eventually saved. Then, of course, it all plays out in the coming of the Messiah himself. But a very simple verse that I pray will become your motto, even as I hopefully becomes my motto, my verse for 2018. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just half a heart, three quarters of a heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And he will do what? He will clear the road. He will make a path. He will make a way where it seems impossible. God will go before you. God will walk behind you. God will walk below you and above you. God will surround you. And I pray that as we walk throughout this coming new year, that God will be with us in all that we find ourselves going through. Because our God is not a God who's somehow confined to somehow a realm of heaven. He is right here with us. He's walked with us. You know, he got his toes and feet dirty from the dirt that he kicked between his toes. He feels with us. He knows what we're going through. Our God is a mighty God who found it graceful enough to come and be a Savior for us. And he opened doors for us so that we might have life, not only now abundantly, but life eternal. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. What about it? Will you make that a life verse for this year in 2018? I think that's a great verse to begin the year with, don't you? Well, precious Lord, we thank you and we praise you that you're a God who loves us. We don't always understand all the things that happen to us. We don't always understand all the things that come our way. But we want to thank you, Lord, that from your vantage point, Lord, you see all that we tread. You see where we have trod. Lord, you hold every situation in the palm of your hand. And most of all, you hold us in the embrace of your arms. Thank you, Lord, for holding us so close and never letting us go. And thank you, Lord, that no one shall ever be able to pluck us from the palms of your hand, because you're God of grace, a God of might. Lord, may we make you our North Star always. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I pray that as you exit this morning, you go forth knowing that you're being held in the palms of a great, big, mighty God. And as you walk into 2018, that you know that God will lead you every step of the way. He's faithful. He was faithful to Joseph and Mary. He was faithful to all of our ancestors. He was faithful to those whom we celebrated 175 years. Faithful to all your parents, your grandparents. He's faithful. So go knowing that God is faithful to go with you. Amen.